turn into what you tune into. I made sure that when I was in that period of time, I was watching the right things and I was listening to the right things and I was absorbing the right things. That's when I decided to actually switch what I was doing with my time, because I actually had a clear look at my time, because you cannot master what you do not measure. And you have to measure your time in order to be able to master it. The resource that we got started purpose-led, and then it started to take off. And then people started asking us to do events, started asking us to come and speak at their universities, their schools. And as someone who's never been to university, getting asked to come and speak at a university is big. Cause like, I don't even have a degree, but these people are asking me to come, and like, this is crazy. There aren't even enough podcasts yet, in my opinion anyway. And saying podcasting is saturated is like saying that book writing is saturated or books are saturated. You know how many books there are?
Guys, I've just finished recording an episode and my goodness, my head is spinning. Jonathan Reed, founder of Redentify, he's given me all the keys to take this podcast to the next level. He's a truly inspirational individual with an even more inspiring story. He takes us through his early beginnings, doing apprenticeships, why he didn't go to university, what we need to do to just take our lives to the next level. He's one of the most positive people I've spoken to. So guys, tune in. You're going to enjoy this one. Now, over to the show. Hi guys, welcome to another episode of What My Best Friend Does, where we talk to your best friends in the hope of inspiring you to take immediate action to find the career of your dreams. Guys, today we've got a good one. Today I'm joined by the founder and public speaker, Jonathan. How you doing, bro?
I'm doing amazing, best friend.
How are you doing? I'm doing very well,
good
best
to hear,
friend.
Good to hear.
Thank you.
Twin.
Spider-Man meme. bro, yeah, absolute pleasure having you on the show. We like to start with a little icebreaker.
Nice.
What did you want to be growing up, bro?
Ooh. What I wanted to be, I've never been asked this on a podcast. I go into a lot of podcasts, I've never been asked this.
Yeah.
I wanted to be an architect.
Okay.
Which is completely different from what I'm doing now, of course.
Yeah.
But the reason was because my dad wanted me to be an architect.
Okay.
And he got me like some Bob the Builder gear, and then he was telling me about, oh yeah, architecture and stuff like that.
Mm.
I think the reason was that, you know, architects, they make a good amount of money and kind of stuff. And yeah, then he liked that side of things and like property and everything like that. So he just said, architect.
Okay, so you mentioned the fact that, you know, you wanted to be an architect, your dad wanted to be an architect.
Wanted you to be an architect.
Like, yeah, take us back to kind of like your early upbringing, your secondary education. Yeah, can you just take us through like that time in your life? Like, yeah, what other passions did you have? Mm. And yeah, talk us through your journey up until this point.
So that, it's weird because I can't really remember too much before like year nine.
Yeah.
So before like GCSEs.
Yeah.
But it was good stuff. Mm-hmm. But you know, you go through the regular growing up in London kind of stuff. But I remember in year nine, I started to get into photography a lot more.
Okay.
Photography and cinematography and everything like that. So more so photography, thinking about taking pictures and such. And for my GCSEs, I picked photography.
Okay.
And I enjoyed that subject, but I didn't enjoy the teacher. The teacher didn't enjoy me either, which was a shame. But I enjoyed the people inside the class.
Yeah.
My good friend Jules, he actually taught me how to take pictures.
Okay.
So. And then kind of over, because my photography teacher didn't. But over time, I got better and better and better. And then I think I even shot at my cousin's wedding.
Yeah.
And then they said that my pictures were better than the photographer that they paid, which is crazy. But of course, it's my big cousin. She can say that kind of stuff. Or my uncle could say that kind of stuff. But they meant it. From what I know, they meant what they said. And I went on to, and it's interesting when you get that from people that you love, it like can spur you on to do even more, which is so, that's why speaking positive words over people is so important from a young age. But that's what was spoken over me. And then I kept on going down that photography route. So I did photography inside school, outside school, shooting at different events. And I met a few people through those events as well who are still friends to this day. And I ended up shooting another wedding, and I ended up going to shoot the behind the scenes of like popular artists' music videos and such, which was interesting, completely different scene. Mm. And then it got to like sixth form times and I was quite lost. Like I didn't know what to do after sixth form. I was lost. Mm-hmm. Yeah, with a capital L. I was very lost, right? Yeah. Very much lost. Didn't know what to do after sixth form, so I took a gap year. Okay. And that is when I was doing all the shooting and everything like that, or most of the shooting.
Okay.
Because I did lose a little bit of passion beforehand, but then I realized it's a skill that I could use to get to the next level in my life, right? And it was something I was good at, so I wanted to use it. And in that period of time, I learned how to build websites. I learned how to do graphic design and everything, and social media marketing, because I had to put myself out there. I had to build my own website because I couldn't afford anyone else to make it for me.
I hear that.
So I had to learn all of this stuff. And then after that, I went into an apprenticeship because I had an unconditional to go to university. But when I looked at the course, I said, this is not for me. I can do this outside of uni. I don't have to go
what
to
course,
uni.
What course was it?
Creative Media Technologies.
Okay.
So I looked at that and I said, this is just how to make a fancy video. Like, yeah. No offense to anybody that took that specific degree.
Yeah.
But that's what I felt. I was like, I don't have to go to university to be able to do this. A sheet of paper isn't going to tell me that I can take a video. Like, it doesn't work like that in my head anyway.
Yeah.
So I said, let me go for an apprenticeship. And because I'd built up all of my marketing skills by doing the various marketing things I was doing to put myself out there, mm-hmm. I decided a digital marketing apprenticeship. Okay. And I went for this company called 90, who actually give like 90% of their distributable profits to charity, which I thought was amazing.
Yeah.
A lot of purpose behind that business, and then kind of purpose is a consistent thing.
Yeah, as, yeah, yeah. We're going to get onto that.
And then after that, they got to a point about maybe 18 months into the apprenticeship when I just finished it and the contract had ended, that they were like, basically don't need you anymore. Mm-hmm. But they said it in a nice way. And then I was like, all right, I guess it's time for me to start my business.
Okay, so let's go back just before we get into you starting your own business. Mm. You mentioned the fact that you had a gap year,
mm.
you felt lost,
mm-hmm.
And you took it upon yourself to learn... you know, a variety of skills, whether it be website creation, whether it be digital marketing, whether it be honing your photography. Where did that desire to improve and learn and do all of these things for yourself come from, do you think?
I'd say it came from the fact that I've seen my dad do it in the past. Like little bits here and there. It's not that I spent a crazy amount of time with him, but I've seen him do it in the past. And I'm like, okay, in my head, it became, okay, if I want something done, I just got to do it myself kind of thing. That's what I saw him do.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw other people do that as well. And I was looking on YouTube. YouTube was like a university in and of itself.
100%.
YouTube University.
Yeah, YouTube like, University.
I can
yeah.
go there and get a degree. And guess what? It's free. I didn't even mean to rhyme, but here we go.
Yeah.
And when I was on YouTube and I was looking at these different ways of how to solve the problems that I was facing, for example, website design, working on Squarespace, Wix, and what's the other one? It uses Elementor.
Not WordPress, is it?
WordPress, there we go.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was looking at these various different sites and such and site builders, and I was YouTube was telling me everything. So I was like, if I do want to do anything, I could just learn it myself.
Mm.
And then I just, and even before that, when I was much younger, so I do remember this, I taught myself how to play drums.
Oh, wow.
So I taught myself how to play drums. Like my dad got me a drum kit, or my parents got me a drum kit, and I was playing drums a lot when I was younger. And then even when I was going throughout school, they had like practice rooms so I can go in there and play drums too. So I taught myself how to play that. And I think from then I realized I can do anything that I set my mind to,
yeah.
no matter what it is. So.
I love that. And then going back to the apprenticeship,
mm-hmm.
when people hear apprenticeship, I hear like free labor. Mm. Like, was it a paid apprenticeship? And like, yeah, what were, like, did you learn? Like, did you find it beneficial?
I found it beneficial, mm-hmm. but the industry it was in, I wasn't that interested in.
Okay.
It was in an insurance innovation consultancy.
Okay.
So essentially.
I hear insurance, I'm like. Yeah. Sorry, no offense. No offense with the insurance.
Insurance, but that's what I got a lot when I said, oh yeah, I'm an insurer. When I said insurance, I said, okay.
Yeah.
Insurance innovation consultancy. Yeah. So basically told other insurers or insurers like Aviva, Direct Line and such, basically allowed them to test their ideas before they went to market to see if they would be successful, if they would fail. And they did it within like 90 days.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when I got open to the whole B2B side of things as well. So yeah. I was like, I mean, you're talking to people and charging X amount. Like, what?
Yeah.
Like, I thought you had to do something, like as in physically do something for business for you, to be able to make money. But mm-hmm. then when I saw it from the consultancy angle, I was like, this is interesting, B2B. Interesting. So that's kind of a part of why I went into the B2B side of things later on when I went down the agency route.
And then, yeah, you mentioned the fact that you did the apprenticeship for 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then straight after that, you're like, I'm going to set up my own business.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, talk me through where that confidence comes from. Yeah. And like, yeah, like, did you have any validations in place that allowed you to take the leap? Like, what were your parents saying at the time?
Mm.
Like, yeah, how did you have the confidence to take such a step? Because I know there's going to be people listening to this. They like the securities, right? Mm. Of like a regular salary, the this, the that. What gave you the confidence to be like, you know what, I'm just going to go straight and set up my own thing?
It was years of showing myself that I can do what I set my mind to.
Mm-hmm.
And it was seeing other people who had done it, who'd come from a similar background to me, and they've done it and they've been successful and everything like that. And they've got to the places where they want to get to and where I want to get to. I said, if it's possible for them, it is absolutely possible for me. Mm-hmm. Who said that I can't do it? The guy that's learned, like, taught himself how to, you know, take pictures and build a business for himself. Because I'd already built one, like a small one, but it was the photography business where I was getting paid to do all these different things, do all these different shoots and such. And I was building a brand for myself. And I said, if I could build a brand once, make a name for myself there, and people know me as the photographer guy, then I can build my brand in another department as well, in another area as well. And I can build a business. Because who is saying that I can't?
Yeah.
Like, honestly, who is saying that I can't? And I'm lucky for the fact that my parents are very much like, okay, if you want to build a business, do that, but make sure that that is, like, you're not being, like, lazy and sitting around not doing anything, saying that you're running a business, but not doing anything. They're like, make sure you're actually applying yourself to this. And then as long as you do that, we don't mind. Just as long as you apply yourself to what you're doing, we don't mind what it is. Just, well, within reason.
of course.
But so they were like, have university or do the apprenticeship route, start your own business. You do what you want, but apply yourself to one of those things that you choose.
Okay.
And that's exactly what I do. And they don't really give me too much stress about it.
Okay. I love that. So you set up your business. How is it you decide on specifically what the business is going to be about? And yeah, can you talk to us about the origins of the business you set up?
Definitely. So it was more so broad when I started off. So it was more of a digital marketing agency or a social media marketing agency just to start off with. And then essentially I was just helping people with their social media, just putting their stuff out there, producing posts to put out there on a regular basis. I was working with some e-commerce stores. I was working with some personal brands. I was working with different types of businesses as well, as in B2B businesses too. So that was even another seed for the B2B world and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And sorry, what was the question?
you always catch somewhere. Me up with that. I was like, how did you decide on the original business you set up?
That's it. So essentially it was much more broader to start with. And then I realized the type of clients that I like to work with and the type of clients which were a lot more consistent. And those types of clients were the B2B clients. And those types of clients were, I guess, people who I got a good feeling of off the bat. Like the people who I didn't get a good feeling off the bat and I started working with them just for money, it didn't end well.
Okay.
But it didn't end well. It doesn't mean that we're going out in a mafia shootout. I'm saying, like, it just didn't end well in the way of, I don't really want to work with these people anymore. Okay. It just ends within a couple of months or something like that. Because it was like retainer based, right? And then at the same time as I was building up this business, I also started the podcast with my good friend Rob called Purpose Led.
Yeah.
And we'd been on Clubhouse throughout the whole time that I was at the apprenticeship and we were building up an audience. And that was an audience of about 600 people that it got to. And they asked us to create a podcast. So around the kind of time that our audience on Clubhouse. Oh,
yeah. Okay, cool.
So it weren't Clubhouse.
Okay, sorry.
So the people on Clubhouse asked us to create a podcast because you can't listen to the rooms that had been because they were live. You can't record them. So they were like, create a podcast so that we can listen to it. And I said, all right, cool. Let's create a podcast. And we didn't actually go out and get a studio. Someone actually gave us a call. My friend JJ, he gave me a call and he said, John, like, we've got a space for you. These people that I'm working with, they're called YC UK, Young Creators UK. They got this space up in London. It's in like Waterloo East. You can see like the Thames. You can see da 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 da. Do you want to come down and check it out? And he said, oh yeah, it's for free. I said, huh? So I had to go down there. I checked it out and it all checked out as well. I met the guy who was running it as well. His name's Chris. And then a lady called Yaz was there as well. She was running it too. And it was like a creative space run by this guy called Chris and a whole load of young people.
That was
free.
Where's my JJ? Where's my Chris?
I can connect you with Chris as well.
No, I'm joking.
No, honestly, Chris is actually opening up a production space. Oh, is it? Six. I can connect you with him, but he's an amazing guy. I'm Christoph Taylor. And he put us together. And then after that, me and Rob just took that, the resource that we got, started Purpose Led, and then it started to take off. And then people started asking us to do events, started asking us to come and speak at their universities, their schools. And as someone who's never been to university, getting asked to come and speak at a university is big. Cause like, I don't even have a degree, but these people are asking me to come and like, this is crazy.
Mm.
So it's just even more receipts showing me that I can do anything that I set my mind to.
I love that. And you know, just for the listener who is hearing this and, you know, really wants to dive in and understand. So you set up your own business.
Mm.
How long does it take for you to earn a revenue playing client?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not easy, right? Because you've made it sound easy, right? I know you, anything you put your mind to, you can do. I get that. But like the actual like reality of that situation, like first and foremost, like did it take a long time to get revenue playing clients?
It took about 3 months
okay,
for me to get my first client. And that was 75 Great British pounds.
Wow.
That was the best 75 great British pounds I've ever got in my life, because it was the first money that I made from this business that I created.
Yeah.
And his name was Ryan as well. I remember he had a personal brand. It was like some YouTube thing that I was helping him with, because remember those graphic design skills that I'd built up back in the day, they came in useful when I was helping this guy out.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, it started to grow and grow and grow. And I used him as a testimonial.
Yeah.
So that was a very big key. I made sure I got as many testimonials as possible, because remember before this, I was growing the purpose-led brand, or at the same time we're growing the purpose-led brand, getting a couple views on TikTok and everything like that, and Instagram. Lockdown was one of the biggest pivots in my life.
Oh, really?
The biggest pivots in my life, because I realized that now I had a time to actually put into myself. And within that time, I was about 70 kg before, and at 6 foot, like I think 6 foot three I am, like I was skinny. Because there's a lot of surface area. You see what I'm saying? So I needed more weight on me.
The BMI wasn't BMI.
It wasn't. It was BMR. I felt like I could just change my life around in this lockdown. So that's exactly what I did. I put on about 10 kg within about like 3 to 4 months.
Wow.
I was just literally going outside. I bought like a bench from Amazon, as in like a bench press. And then like it had a dip bar at the back as well. I couldn't do a full dip unassisted before that. But then after that, I was doing like banging out sets of like 10 to 20, which is ridiculous. And then I doubled my one rep max as well. And I was doing it for reps as well in my garden.
Yeah.
There was a couple of times where the butter fell on my chest and I couldn't get it off.
Yeah.
That was scary. But then I made sure that I leveled myself up at that time as well, exposed myself to different books like Atomic Habits, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And I read all of these books and they helped me a lot in that period of time. And I think that's a very fundamental thing to say before I talk about the whole business thing as well.
Okay.
Because when I'm reading these books, when I'm taking in all of this content about self-improvement and everything like that, and I'm going to my self-improvement arc, it's showing me that I can be that person that I've dreamed of myself being.
Yeah.
And that was step one, starting that business.
Okay. And you mentioned the fact that, you've put on the way, you'd like built up this consistency, you're reading the books. Like, to the listener, what is your key piece of advice there? Is it go to the gym? Is it invest in yourself and read books? Is it all of the above? For the listener, what should the takeaway be from that?
The key takeaway is you turn into what you tune into.
Mm.
I made sure that when I was in that period of time, I was watching the right things and I was listening to the right things and I was absorbing the right things. So that came down to my food. So the food that I was eating, I needed to have a caloric surplus in order to gain weight. So I ate more food. I made sure that I made protein shakes as well. Got serious mass, which gave me some serious mass. I also made sure that the music I was listening to was positive music or going down that way, because it used to be like music where they'll be doing all this stuff and da-da-da-da, talking about women and...
I hear it.
But I wasn't even... I was trying to hear it, but I wasn't trying to hear it
because
I knew it wasn't good for me. Podcasts that I was listening to, I made sure that they were beneficial to me. And then this was the same time that Clubhouse was starting and we were doing that thing with Purpose Led on Clubhouse and building the audience. And the Clubhouse rooms I was listening, it had Grant Cardone in it. It had Gary Vee in it. It had all these different people from America killing it and talking about business and improvement and in bettering yourself. And then we had people in the UK talking about body counts and black women, white women and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, I ain't got time for these conversations. Like, let's talk about education rather than just entertainment or even edutainment. Like, let's mix them, but then let's have a positive, forward-thinking conversation. That's what I was about. That's why we started Clubhouse.
Man, I'm gonna edutainment.
Edutainment.
I think that's what this is. Edutainment.
That's the thing.
Are you not entertained?
I am.
Man, no. I like it. Bro, that is sick and it makes sense. So you've obviously mentioned that happening during lockdown.
Yeah.
To people listening to this, like, you know, COVID is a thing of the past. Where do I find the time now? You know, there's so many like different vices, distractions.
Mm-hmm.
How does somebody lock in this day and age to make sure they can get those benefits and put in those good habits?
For me, it's not about finding the time. It's about making the time. Because ultimately, the famous Molly May would say, we all have the same 24 hours, right? So we all have the same 24. So okay. What can you do with your 24?
Yeah.
Like, what can you actually do with your 24? You have to, for me, one thing, this is the biggest thing that helped me when it came to breaking down my time and seeing how much, because I thought I was the most productive guy in the world and on the face of the planet. And I said, how am I not making the progress that I want to make? Until I got open an Excel spreadsheet, and I could even ping you like the link to this if you want, not my personal one, but a template.
Yeah.
I got open an Excel spreadsheet and I literally broke down every hour in the day. And I said, from 6 to 7, what am I doing? AM, 7 to 8, 8 to 9, what am I doing every single hour of the day? And I looked at it and I was embarrassed.
Yeah.
I was embarrassed. I was like, how am I spending this much time scrolling through TikTok? How am I spending this much time doing whatever I'm doing, going out, da 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 da. How am I spending this much time? And doing the things that aren't number one priority to me. If my number one priority is building a business, building a life for myself in the future, then why is that not taking up most of my time? Mm-hmm. Why is most of my time being applied to things that I don't even care about too much, that aren't even really benefiting me, that aren't even really helping me? Mm-hmm. So that's when I decided to actually switch what I was doing with my time, because I actually had a clear look at my time, because you cannot master what you do not measure. And you have to measure your time in order to be able to master it.
Oof. I cannot master what you do not measure.
Rob Dow. Was it Rob Dow that said it? Or was it Rob Moore?
Rob Moore.
The property guy. Yeah.
Okay. I love it. And, you know, just rounding off this point before, you know, I take it back. Where do you feel like young people or aspirational people in this day and age are failing? I know you've mentioned there, like, not measuring their time. Is there anything else where you're like, okay, I just see it, this person's wasting talent, that person's wasting talent? What is the commonality you see amongst people who aren't living up to their potential?
It's mad that you said this, because recently I was looking at my purpose and what my mission is, and it's to help people live a more fulfilled life, which is crazy. So it's crazy that you said that. But what was the specific question again?
What is it about people who aren't living up to their potential? Like, what are the commonalities you see amongst people, or amongst society, shall we say?
Amongst society, people aren't living up to their potential. People who... That's a difficult... People who complain a lot and are very negative, because when you complain and when you're very negative, ultimately that's what you're attracting towards you. Mm. And that's what you, because you become what you think about. And if you're always talking, as a man thinketh, right, so he is. If you're always talking about negativity, that means you're always thinking negativity, yeah. Right? Yeah. And then your program, let me put it like this, your programming leads to your thoughts. Your thoughts lead to your feelings lead to your actions, and your actions lead to your results. Mm. So if you're always thinking negatively, if you're programmed to think negatively, you feel negative, yeah. You're going to take negative actions and you're going to have negative results.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to have a negative life.
Yeah.
So negativity comes out in many different ways, but one of the ways is complaining.
Yeah.
Always complaining. Like, that is a very unattractive thing for me. Yeah. Like, for someone to always be complaining, I just don't want to be involved in that. Right, that I think that is something where someone is limiting their potential by always complaining, because you can't attract good things towards you if you're giving out negative.
So basically what I'm hearing is you need to manifest and be positive. You need to envisage, like you said, you need to envisage the person you want to become. Mm. And then you need to embody that person, and then you become that person.
Absolutely.
Because yeah.
even if you break down become, you have to be before you can become, right? Mm. So the come comes after the being.
Mm.
And then there's a law that I like to, it's from the Bible. I'm a Christian, right? So yeah. I'm not going to go into the, I could go into the verse if you want, but literally in Genesis, God, the first thing that God said to man was be fruitful, multiply and have dominion over the earth, right? And you can break that down into be, do and have. That is God's, literally his plan for success. Just be, do, and have. You have to be before you can do, and you have to do before you have, right? So you have to become the type of person that will do the type of thing to have the type of things that you want to have.
Yeah.
And that came from Myron Golden. That is, as I said, you become what you think about. You turn into what you tune into. Yeah. I'm listening to these people all the time, and that's why I can just reel off these quotes, because I listen to them all the time.
Yeah.
But that, I just wanted to say that, because you have to become before you can, like, before you can actually have the results that you want.
I love it. And just to, like, add to what you've said, like, shout out my GCSE PE.
Yeah.
I actually learned a phrase in GCSE PE called learned helplessness.
Talk to me.
And learned helplessness is, it's like a psyche where if you think, you're going to lose in sport, you will lose.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, to your point, if you think negative things are going to happen... Mm. They will happen.
Mm.
So, I'm just like echoing what you said, like the need for positivity. Everybody needs to be positive, right? But, you know, people go through trials and tribulations.
Absolutely.
To those people who are like, it's easy for them to say this. You know, they're not going through what I'm going through. To that person in a dark moment, like what would your advice be to them?
Honestly, because I've been through those periods as well, even though people might not think it because of the way that I move and the stuff that I say, I've been through a lot of those periods as well. Gratitude.
Mm.
And it's a very simple word. Like, a lot of people, gratitude, rolling their eyes now. But gratitude, honestly, I remember when I lost all the money that I had, literally all of it, and it went in front of my eyes. And this is at the period of time, as I said, a lot happened in that COVID time when I was starting to trade. and I was doing leverage trading.
Oh no.
And I was doing leverage trading with crypto.
Not financial advice.
Let me give you some financial advice. Don't do it. Right now. Learn first. But for me, I was learning and it was going pretty well. I was seeing good numbers. Like I was seeing a couple thousand a day. I was like, wow, this is wild. Yeah. I've never seen this kind of money in my life. And I remember when it all came down in front of my eyes and my account just went to zero.
Yeah.
In front of my eyes. And then I didn't even know how to feel. But I went to bed at 9:30 p.m.
Yeah.
What am I doing in bed at 9:30 p.m? Them times I was going to bed at like 12 a.m., 1 a.m. just because of like, but then 9:30 p.m. I was sad.
Yeah.
I was, and I remember I woke up at 3 a.m. and I was just staring at the scene and I'm just like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
What am I doing? And I felt like crying, but the tears weren't coming up.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to do. Like, I was like, I'm going to have to start all over again. This is all the money that I saved up and all the money that I made and da 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 da. We're talking five figures here. Like, this is not small, small money.
Yeah.
And to me, there's a lot of money.
Of course,
like,
mate, that's a lot of money.
And I said to myself, like, what am I really going to do? And I was like, you know what? What's the one thing that I do to just distract myself? I go on TikTok. So like, let me just allow myself that because I don't know what else to do, right? So I started scrolling through TikTok. And I remember that I saw there was these guys in prison and they were having fun. They were like making food, they were laughing, they were chilling, they were on their phone, they were just laughing, right? They were chilling. And I said, these guys haven't even got their freedom, but they're able to still smile, they're able to still be like happy to an extent, right? And then I scrolled a couple more TikToks and I saw this guy, I can't remember what condition he had, but he was bedbound, like in a hospital bed.
Yeah.
And there was like a little DJ deck, he was on TikTok live. There was a DJ deck and he had like these lights behind him and I could even see it now. He had the lights behind him and everything. And he was playing the DJ decks and he was smiling and he was interacting with the people in the comments and such. And I could see that even though he's in a not so great position from my perspective, he's still able to smile. He's still able to put himself out there and he's still able to, from my perspective, have a good time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I need to be grateful. I've got my freedom. I've got my mobility. I've got friends. I've got people that love me.
100%.
And I've got potential.
Yeah.
Like, if you're still alive, you've got potential. If you're still alive, you've got something to do.
Yeah.
So that's when I actually had to spin it. And I said, look, there is so much for me out here.
Yeah.
And even if, yes, okay, I've got to start from the beginning, but at least I have the opportunity to start from the beginning. Yeah. Some people don't get the opportunity.
Bro, it's so funny that you speak about gratitude because I'm very similar. Mm-hmm. Like, I always look at the positives in life, but I'm sure people would have heard of Stephen Bartlett.
Yes.
I'm just listening to a podcast with Francis Ngannou at the moment. And like his story is crazy.
Yeah.
Like if you need to hear a story to be inspired and understand like gratitude for the life you have, go and listen to Francis Ngannou on Joe Rogan and on Stephen Bartlett and understand about the 16-month journey he went on to migrate from Cameroon over to Europe. Crazy. And then he became like the UFC world champion. It's absolutely crazy, man. It like gives me complete shivers. But I love that and I love everything you've just said there. So the key takeaway, like if you're going through a tough time, be grateful. Look at the light and then build from there. We digressed.
Yeah.
There was a big digression.
Yeah.
You spoke about, purpose led, the fact that you had the audience, you built the podcast. Off of that, you got speaking engagements.
Yes.
Yeah, I just want to kind of, let's talk about like your business now.
Mm-hmm.
The focus of the business, the target audience, what is it that you're doing at the moment?
So essentially right now, as what started as a social media marketing agency, when I started up Purpose Led with my girlfriend Rob, I decided it was too much for me to run the marketing agency and Purpose Led the podcast as well, because I had to edit, because I was, remember, I'd learned how to edit, I learned how to market, I learned how to do all this kind of stuff, and I had the time. And then Rob was at work because he was working full time. He wasn't at the time. But then I had the skills basically to be able to apply to this. And I said, boy, like, this is a lot. I can't be doing both at the same time. So something needs to be automated. So I either automate the business, which I can't do. That's like automating a child. Mm. Like it's just getting born. Do you see? It's just born. Like I need to pay a lot of attention.
Yeah.
But then Purpose Led was something that could be easily automated because it was something which didn't require as much of my actual time and attention. But the business did, is a better way of saying it. So with the podcast, what I did was I hired an editor and I thought about getting a creative director as well. And I said, hold on, I can actually automate this process of running a podcast for people who are busy, AKA myself. So I solved the problem for myself, which was being busy, not having enough time to run the podcast, which was important to me. And I said, I can do this for other people. Then I started to put it out there to other people. And I said, look, I can actually automate your podcast by getting my editors and my creative director to actually, you know, put it out there and edit it and chop it up to short form clips to put out there as well. And and actually consult you in terms of showing you how we've done what we've done in the B2C space and applying it to the B2B space.
Yeah.
And that's essentially what I do now for clients. Now I run a B2B podcast agency called Reidentify, where we help our clients, which are usually B2B clients, essentially produce their podcast or post-produce their podcast, distribute it, create the clips, do all the thumbnails, do the YouTube stuff and everything. So it's completely hands off after they press stop on the recording.
Okay.
That's essentially what we do. And then we show them how to become thought leaders and like kind of industry authorities in their niche so that they just become the obvious option for anybody that's looking for their services that they provide.
Okay. You had me at podcast. Okay. obviously, you know, you're a guest on this podcast. Yeah. And I think even though it sounds like you specialize in B2B, a lot of the learnings, I suppose, can be applied to any podcast, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
So let my therapy session commence.
Talk to me.
First and foremost, like, I want to get your input, like, podcasting as an industry, you know, people say that it's, like, saturated. There's too many podcasts at the moment. Like, what is your view on podcasting as a whole?
With podcasting and saturation, because I hear this a lot. I haven't done an episode on it as well. But podcasting is not saturated. There aren't even enough podcasts yet, in my opinion anyway. And saying podcasting is saturated is like saying that book writing is saturated or books are saturated. Do you know how many books there are?
Yeah.
It's like over, I think it's 150 million books that have been written. And people keep writing books. But imagine if people told authors of today, great authors of today, that the industry is saturated, then we never would have had these books. We wouldn't have had Atomic Habits, which changed my life. We wouldn't have had Rich Dad Poor Dad, which changed my life. We wouldn't have Jacqueline Wilson books. We wouldn't have all these different types of books that we have because they were too scared to get into the industry because they said it's too saturated. Saturated means full, by the way. If we actually look at the definition of saturated, it means full, as in no space for anything else. Saturated, something is fully saturated, no space for anything else. So if there's no space for anything else, how are we still seeing podcasts come out? And people are listening to podcasts all of the time. Also, I think in America, yes, the average amount of hours a person spends, I think on a weekly basis listening to podcasts is 8 hours.
Wow.
8 hours. And they listen to, I can't remember the number of podcasts they listen to on average, but they listen to multiple. So it sounds to me like there's space. But what there isn't space for is people who are going to do the same thing as other people. Now that is saturated,
okay,
because a lot of people are just copy and pasting, and that's not going to get you anywhere when it comes to podcasting.
So yeah, so on that, like, how do you go about finding your niche or your target audience?
First of all, you have to look at yourself. You have to see, okay, cool, what am I bringing to the table? Like, what are you bringing to the table? What makes you different? What I call this is something that I'm actually going to be releasing pretty soon as a podcast. I'm not sure if I told you this already, but it's called Vitamin U. And essentially Vitamin U is speaking to the fact that you have something within you that your target audience needs. And your target audience is deficient in whatever it is that you have. That's what Vitamin U is. So coming to a screen near you, right? And I've already trademarked it and all that kind of stuff as well. And that's what the podcast is going to be about. And it's going to be a whole thing around it. And I'll be doing the launch for that maybe in a couple months' time or something.
We'll share it when the time is right.
Come on.
Yeah, come on.
So that's essentially what my podcast is going to be about. But that is one thing that I talk about all the time. Vitamin U. What is your Vitamin U? What is that thing that your target audience is deficient in, which is within you? How can you unlock that, right? So figuring out what it is that's different about you and different about what it is that you're providing. And for example, if it's a B2B company that wants to run a podcast or just a company in general, what is different about the company? Other people will call it a USP, a unique selling point. What is your USP, right? Still a you. What is your unique selling point? Like, what makes you different? And that is what you can put onto the podcast. That is what can differentiate you from the sea of sameness, as I call it. So for example, if we look at... Stephen Bartlett, right? His history. his history, like the stuff that he's done before, his network as well, the type of people he's bringing on, the production and everything, all of these things coming together as well. And then his curiosity, the way that he looks at things, the way, the kind of questions that he asks, and his mindset that he uses for his podcast as well, that all comes together to create his Vitamin U, the thing that makes him different, the thing that makes his podcast different, as put it to where it is right now. Yeah. And his team of like 20 people.
You know what but I mean? I love the fact that hearing like the Vitamin U, it's not, and even though it could, like, USP is like another word for it, it's not necessarily one thing, right? Mm-hmm. You've just said it there. It could be a combination of different skills that makes your USP. So if somebody's like, oh, you know, I thought my USP is funny, but, you know, there's loads of funny people. Oh, my USP is, oh, I work in this industry. It's like, it's a combination of the fact that you're funny, that you work in the industry, that you can get the guests, that you get the production. That is what makes your Vitamin U. That's what I'm hearing. That's what I'm taking away.
That's what makes the podcast different. Okay. I'd actually say that your Vitamin U is different. That's internal.
Okay.
That's internal. So for me, it would be my character, like the way that I carry myself and everything like that, and how I come across to people.
Not what we're wearing.
Not what we're wearing. That's my Vitamin U. What makes me different, and what made me stood out to you, for example, or stand out to you, for example, like that is like something about this guy, I want to speak to him, right? So the Vitamin U, the thing that makes me different. And people need to take that out and then add that to their podcast, and it will make them different. It will make them stand out, and doing things differently as well. Just different. Think different. Because everyone does the same thing. Have you heard of Pass the Meerkat?
I have. No.
Look up Pass the Meerkat when you get home, or even after this, even now if you want to. But essentially what it's just a normal podcast of, like, you know, guys telling their stories and everything like that. Just like a normal entertainment podcast. And they illustrate it. So they actually make it, they kind of like cartoonify it. So it's now not them just talk, not guys just talking on a mic. Now, if they're telling a story, it's going to be a cartoon of them doing whatever it is that they're talking about in the story. And I find that super cool. And it's different. Yeah. It's something that people don't usually see. It's what makes them different.
And it means you have to watch it as well.
And it means you have to watch it. And then, for example, Winners Talking is another podcast. And then what they don't illustrate, but they're coming from a different perspective. They're older guys that are talking to, I guess, people their age and such. And they're like football fans and everything. And they get on a particular type of guest to go for a particular type of audience, meaning that they get a particular type of sponsor. I can go into a whole thing there. But it's finding what is different. What is different and what will separate you from other people.
Okay, I love that. So we find our niche. Okay, the next thing is, there's a statistic, like, if you have released more than 20 episodes, we've released about 45, you're in like the top 1% of podcasts. What is it about people starting and stopping and not being consistent? Like, why is it that people always have these great ideas, but then they can only release one episode, two episodes intermittently? They lack the consistency. Like, why is it that happens?
Well, I think the stat is that 70% of episodes don't get past, 70% of podcasts don't get past episode 3.
Wow.
And 90% of podcasts don't get past episode 20.
Wow.
I think that's what it is. And the reason that so many people aren't consistent, from what I've seen, is that, number one, they don't have some sort of system to be able to structure what it is that they're doing, to be able to structure the way that they move, to be able to structure the podcast and the consistency of it coming out and such. They don't have a system for that. They don't have a team. A team helps a lot, because a team gives you accountability. Like, that's not even something people think about when it comes to a team, but it gives you accountability, making sure that things come out on time, gives you support if you're doing other things as well, which is exactly what, you know, that's the hole that we fill, being that team, being that support and such. Also, the belief. The belief, they don't have the belief that this could actually be something special. They don't have that long-term mindset. We spoke about this recently. Having that long-term mindset is so key, because when you start your podcast, people are like, oh, well done, bro. Jonathan, well done. You're so great. But then episode 5,
the likes dry up.
Wait, where's everyone going? It's just me here.
Do you know what's so funny about that is that, this version of the podcast has been going for a year.
Okay.
Right. Happy birthday. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, happy birthday.
Yeah, thank you. Come on. Yeah, but those people who have been on the journey since the very beginning, like, it actually started off as a travel podcast.
And, a travel podcast?
Yeah, because, you know, I thought, like, I used to travel quite a lot. I mean, I still do. And it's like, I had so many funny stories. And, like, there were lots of travel hacks and, like, tips, things I wish I knew when I went traveling. And then we kind of pivoted to, all right, we go traveling, how do we kind of afford these like nice holidays we go on? And that's where I started talking about the careers. And then I was like, do you know what, talking about careers is actually a lot more sustainable, right? When we think about consistency, because there was only so many countries I've been to, and I started trying to like do research and episodes on countries I hadn't been to, and I just didn't feel as passionate about it. But I'm genuinely passionate about careers and mm-hmm. helping people to find that the career of their dreams that's going to help to fund like a specific lifestyle. But the reason I'm saying this is because I'll get people that come up to me like 2 years later and like, oh yeah, how's the travel podcast doing? I'm like, brother, you don't know. You don't know. If you think you still travel, you don't know. But thanks though. But anyway, sorry, I digress with that story.
But what you're saying is so true, and it ties into what I was going to say as well in terms of or what I wanted to say in terms of, first of all, what do you actually want to speak about? Like, because if you're speaking about something you don't want to speak about, it's not going to be sustainable at all. So for example, my podcast, The Thought Leaders Handbook, which I was running for about maybe like 4 months or so, which was doing okay. And then people were listening to it. People appreciated the value and everything like that. It was going well. But I had to end it.
Yeah,
I had to end it because it's a podcast talking about podcasting. And I don't even listen to podcasts talking about podcasting.
Yeah.
I can talk about anything.
I can
even talk to a brick wall. Right? A brick wall, I even talk about, I'll have a good conversation. Yeah. Right. But what I'm saying is that even me speaking and okay, cool. Yeah. I can act up on camera. They're saying Real Housewives, but I can talk on camera and it could be potentially entertaining, right? Edutaining. And people can look at that and they might like it, but for me, actually speaking about this stuff, it's important for me to be speaking about something that I actually have a deep passion, but a real interest in, a proper interest in.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought through this handbook where I was just talking about podcasting, and yes, I am interested in podcasting and I could talk about it a lot, but then what I'm really interested in is that vitamin U stuff.
Yeah.
And what makes you different? What are your uniquities, your unique qualities?
Yeah.
What separates you from other people? How have you got to where you're getting to? Similar to what you're doing, but just in a different way.
Yeah, I love it. And, you know, we've spoken about the fact that a lot of people fail. Mm. Building the audience is the next thing, right? So, like you release one episode, you release 5 episodes. If you've even gone there, you release 10 episodes and then you find that you're still getting 10 listeners, 20 listeners, 30 listeners. In terms of actual like strategies to help build the audience and make sure that your podcast is going into the right ears, like how do you go about doing that? Help me.
First of all, the main thing is making sure that you tell people about what you do.
Okay.
And right, it sounds so easy, but a lot of people don't do it. Just tell people.
I don't think I do.
literally tell people, as in like in person, like you meet someone, oh yeah, I've got a podcast. Oh, you should listen to it. It's called this. Type it in on their phone. Show them the actual podcast. Get them subscribe on their phone.
Yeah.
Literally do it manually. That's what we used to do at the start of Purpose Led and such. We literally told people about the podcast.
Yeah.
And it started to snowball. And then I remember seeing a comment. It was like, oh yeah, I met you in a queue and da 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 da. And I've been watching it ever since and everything. I was like, wow, this is crazy.
Yeah.
And growing the community, that's another big thing as well. Making sure that there's a community and bringing people together, people love that, because when people feel like they're part of something, they want to share it.
So how do you what would the step be? What steps can I take to grow a community?
To grow a community, first of all, you need to have somewhere for the community to be. So you want to choose a particular platform. So for example, it might be WhatsApp, it might be school, it might be a Facebook group, it might be an Instagram group, it might be an iMessage group, right? But you just have to have a place for it. And then you start driving traffic there. So you have a call to action of, okay, join our community. And a call to action is just you saying something like an advertisement, for example, mm-hmm. in your podcast and say, guys, if you want to be involved in da 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 da, or if you want to see what my best friends do and be in a group with my best friends, then join this community. The link is going to be in the bio below, and then they can join that community, join it. And then, for example, when you want to have events and such, or do live podcasts, which is another good way to expand your audience, because people come, they post on social media, like, oh, what's this? Let me find out what my best friend does, right? So to get there in the first place, you need to drive traffic to this community.
Yeah.
Then you can start running events and you can start actually telling the people in the university, in the community, to come to your events and such. And they would have a higher likelihood of doing so because they already feel like they're part of something. We used to have the purpose-led club, because people felt like they were part of a club. So we'd always see the same faces at our events, plus extra people that they would be bringing
as well.
How
often were you doing events?
Oh, at the start, it was quite often. So it's like every other month or so. But then over time, as we got other things to do and as our businesses started to do even better and everything started to take off because of Purpose Led, we had less and less time for the events, unfortunately.
So it sounds like networking is quite pivotal in helping to kind of get brand exposure and get other opportunities, because I always think about it like sometimes it's like if you chop a tree down in the middle of the woods, did it really fall down?
Mm.
If people don't know about your podcast, like they don't know to listen to it. So it's all about getting yourself in front of people by doing these things, like by telling people to type it in your phone, by creating these events and inviting them. So this is what I have to do. I have to create an event, I have to create a community, and then just like consistently be putting things on.
Oh, you don't have to. You don't have to, but it helps, right?
Yeah, it helps.
But one of the biggest things I would say is short form content.
Okay.
Just doubling down on short form content and then getting that to work. So when I say getting that to work, posting on a frequent basis on these platforms. So for example, posting on TikTok, posting on Instagram, posting on YouTube Shorts.
Yeah.
I would say to be careful not to post on every platform because that will take up your time and then you won't be able to do every platform at 100%, right? Yeah. So get good at, I'd say, two platforms. So maybe that's TikTok and LinkedIn, for example, right? So going wider on TikTok and then going, I guess, more focused on LinkedIn because maybe you're, I don't know, if there's a particular type of person that you want to watch on or you want to watch on LinkedIn, or maybe it's TikTok and Instagram for you, for example. Okay. So making sure that you're uploading on a regular basis so that you start to see what works, because the more that we uploaded, we saw, oh, so people like this. Oh, so people like that. Oh, okay, so people don't like that. Okay, so we know what to post next time. And then we start to get tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands and millions of views on TikTok, which was great. And then we got a couple thousand views on, well, tens of, well, hundreds of thousands actually across Instagram and such. But, and then people started to recognize us in public as well. So I think the short form content helped with that a lot, that we had that widespread appeal and that widespread brand awareness because we were on these like kind of top of funnel platforms, for example.
And with this stuff, like, was it all organic or is there a place for like marketing spend and sponsored content and making sure you're actually pushing it out to a significant number of people?
It was all organic.
Wow.
It was all organic, but it was only organic. We didn't want to spend money on it.
So if you had the piece.
Okay. We'd have been running up the ads.
Okay.
Absolutely. Driving traffic back to the podcast, driving traffic back to the stuff that we were doing, as in maybe, would we be driving traffic, potentially traffic back to the shorts that were already performing well? That's what I would have done because I've ran ads before and everything and they've been successful. So what I would have ideally done is I would have posted on organic. So here's the, okay, here's the breakdown. Here's the play. I would have posted on organic and then seen the things that have done well on organic anyway, and then put ad spend behind those because they were already going to take off. So I'm just giving it a little bit of a boost for it to do even better, essentially, and just making it run for a little bit longer.
And sorry, I'm not really being very layman here. What is well?
Say that again.
Like what? Define well.
Oh, better than your other.
So, 1,000 views, 5,000 views, 10,000.
So say, for example, your posts are getting 200 views.
Yeah.
Right? So your reels are getting 200 views, but then this one does 1.5K, 2K, 5K, for example. It's like, oh, that one's done well.
Yeah.
Right? So if there's like a disparity between the two.
Okay.
So it's like, oh, so this one's an outlier.
Yeah.
Let me take this one and go to the meme with it.
Yeah. Okay. I love that. And then the other thing I wanted to say, just on this topic, like, guest interviews versus solo interviews. So I know, knowing you, you are like a big proponent of doing, or you've done solo interviews, right? And you've just spoken into camera.
Mm.
Are people missing a trick by not doing solo interviews? And yeah, what's your view on them?
Absolutely. Let me say, a big trick. A big old trick. Because if you're not doing solo episodes, then how are you supposed to get to know your audience? I had to finish off that.
Yeah.
So, let's say, for example, that I'm trying to get to know you better, right? And then, for example, G's there. Every time that we're talking, G's there or someone else is there, for example. And we might have Emmanuel there. We might have Sarah there.
Yeah.
Every time that we come together, right? Every time that we meet, there's always somebody else there. So it feels like I never actually get to know you properly because you're probably talking to this person and I'm talking to them, trying to get to know them as well. And I never actually get time with just you.
Okay.
But then, imagine if we just had literally just one-on-one time, just literally just talking, just go to the coffee shop, just go restaurant or whatever, go, I don't know, bowling, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah.
We just had one-on-one, just me and you. I would get to know you a lot more. Whereas if there was always somebody else there, I wouldn't get to know you as well.
Okay.
Or as good. But it's the same thing with solo podcasts and guest podcasting. So the audience can't necessarily get to know you that much if you're always speaking to somebody else.
Yeah.
So solo podcasts are so key for getting to know your audience and building up that audience, that even that sense of community as well, because it feels like you're directly speaking to them.
Okay.
And we live in such a lonely society. Like, this is the loneliest it's ever been. I looked at the stats. It's the loneliest it's ever been. I think it's 1 in 3 people over the age of 21, I believe, in America, actually categorize themselves as lonely.
Wow.
It's sad.
Yeah. And,
well, I mean, hence the fact that podcasts, like the amount of podcast listens that are being generated over time are going up and up and up. People feel like they want to be part of something. They want to be part of a conversation. So it makes sense why podcast listens are going up, and it makes sense why podcasts are getting even more popular, because they want to be part of something, part of a conversation. That's why they want to laugh too. Yeah. When people are laughing, they want to be part of it. So when you're speaking directly to it, when you're speaking directly to them, sorry, they feel like they're included.
Okay, I love that. Two questions I have on that.
Mm-hmm.
The first one, if I'm doing a solo episode, how long should it be? Mm. And then the second question is, like, what do I just stare into the camera and just talk for X period of time? Like, I don't know, just looking at it, I just feel mad. Like, I don't know. Like, or is it like, so is it audio only or is it visual when you're doing this?
Visual.
Wow.
And I get my clients to do it as well.
Wow. Yeah. And how long would it typically be then?
It depends on what they're comfortable with. I'm not trying to make my client sit there for an hour just talking.
That's
not fun for anyone.
Yeah, right? That's not fun for anyone.
Well, at the start anyway. But I would recommend to be recording for about half an hour.
Okay.
Which will probably be chopped down into about 15 minutes if you have an editor, for example.
Okay.
Because what I always recommend to do is just to talk. Don't go up and switch off the camera, switch it back on again, just restart for it. Just talk.
Okay.
Right. Just talk anything that's on your, well, within reason, whatever the podcast is about, talk about that, right? But talk about what comes to mind and just speak and speak and speak and just worry about the post later.
Okay.
Because I think that's what gets people caught up as well. They think that they need to just do the consistent flow of great information. It's not the case. So just talk.
So and this is a takeaway for me.
Mm.
I need to do an episode on what I do for work. And I need to just give the breakdown of like my career journey, talk about my hobbies, mm. my interests, and just get the listener to just learn more about me.
Do that, but frame it around them.
Okay.
Get them to learn more about you, but frame it around them.
Okay.
Right. Get them to learn more about you, but frame it around them. The reason that I say this is because people are only interested in themselves.
Themselves.
Right. So it's like, this is great, but I love, hey, life story, amazing. But what's that going to do for me?
Yeah.
So people listen to this is the story of my life. If it's a Grant Cardone, like if it's Alex Holmes, because they have mass appeal, yeah. right? And you don't have that yet.
Yeah.
You'll get it, but you don't have it yet. And I don't have it yet either.
Yeah.
But if we can frame it to say, okay, this is my story, but here's how it's going to help you. That will help them a lot more. And it will help you a lot more in terms of getting more people to listen and more people to watch and such.
Yeah.
So for example, this is how I done this and got to there.
Yeah. Right?
So, and then this is how you can do it too. And then in that you tell your story. That's all it is. It's just framing it with their interests at heart.
Yeah.
That is what I would say. That's how I break it down.
Okay, six.
I hope that helps.
That does help. Okay. Right, a lot of food for thought here. No. and then the final thing I'll say, like on the podcasting is, yeah, like monetization.
Yes.
Right? So people, I mean, look, let's be honest. I love the podcast. I love talking to people, but ultimately it's a very expensive hobby, as my wife puts it. It's a very right. expensive hobby. So at some point you want it to at least be able to pay for itself, right? Yeah. If not, put some money in your pocket so you can, you know, live that lifestyle that we're aspiring to live. You've spoken in some of your LinkedIn posts and stuff about, you know, yeah, you can get to the ad sponsorship and you can get the YouTube ad revenue, but that's long term. There are other things that you can be doing with less than 100 subscribers in order to monetize. Can you talk me through the various strategies that people, aspiring podcasters, can use to monetize if they don't necessarily have a big audience?
What I usually say to my clients is, well, B2B clients, so you can actually get your prospects onto the podcast. So to actually speed up the sales process. So essentially, let's say, for example, you're a prospect and I want to work with you. I want to start like working with your company and something or whatever. And there's a deal on the line.
Yeah.
And I say, you know what? Come into the office. Come into the office. Let's talk, right? Come to the office. We'll do a podcast and then we'll just ask you a load of questions about you. People love, as I said, people only care about themselves.
Yeah.
So they love to speak about themselves. So yeah, I'll come onto the podcast. Yeah, I'll come onto the podcast. They sit down, you talk and everything, bring them around the office, meet people and such, give them a really nice experience. And then they know what you do because you would have explained it to them.
Mm.
And they're not silly. They would have done their research before they come. Yeah. Or you would explain it on the podcast. The podcast is probably going to be on a topic related to what it is that you do as a company.
Yeah.
So you have that conversation with them. And then they leave knowing exactly what it is that you do. So when they need you, you're going to be the first person on their mind, right? And then you could even speed up the sales process. So for example, if you're already in a deal, it's like, okay, cool. Rather than us having a sales call or something like that, or if there's a deal on the line and it's a prospect, for example, rather than them having a sales call, invite them to come on the podcast.
Yeah.
And it's just that long-term play, right? Which actually could be made a more of a mid-term play because it's speeding it up. Okay. But for example, for B2C side of things, right? So just regular podcasts, not in the business world. You can, of course, you can do Patreon. You could do YouTube Premium and all that kind of stuff too. But let's say, for example, you're a coach. Right. So, well, yeah, B2C, still B2C. Let's say, for example, you're a coach, you could sell your programs to the people that are listening to your podcasts, which is high ticket. You just say, book a call with me down below or download my free lead magnet or something like that. And then they download that. And then you ask them if they're interested in X, Y, and Z.
Yep.
And then you can sell your programs, for example, which might be a couple thousand, which means that you can monetize from a very small profile.
Mm-hmm.
Also, when it comes to, you know, monetization and such, you can do events, as I said before. You can start events. You can, with your small audience, you can build up that audience, get them to pay for event tickets and get them to come down and invite their friends and such. And then you can even sell them the course if you have a course or if you have a program or something like that. But because I work with a lot of people in business, that is the frame that I look at things There is usually something that people have to sell. So that is what I usually leverage. So, okay, cool. You have a course to sell. You have a program to sell. You have a product to sell. You have a service to sell. So there is always something to sell. It's just driving the attention, even if it's a small amount of attention, to that product or service or thing that you have to sell.
I love it. I feel like
another thing, sponsorships.
Yeah,
sponsorships as well.
But
making sure that you work with sponsors or reaching out to sponsors to work with them and looking for people inside of your network who could potentially sponsor your podcast as well.
Okay,
that's one big thing that I would say, because a lot of people, like, if you look at your phone book, there is most likely someone in there that could even potentially sponsor the podcast.
Okay. And in terms of pricing, how do you say, I want X amount of money? Like, how do you say this is what it goes to, or do you just pluck the number out of thin air?
So what you do is you get packages.
Okay.
Because you can say, oh, sponsoring this podcast costs X amount. And it's like, I'm not really trying to pay X amount. Or you can say, sponsoring this podcast, you have a couple of options. You have a low ticket option, a mid ticket option, and you have a high ticket option. So you give them three different options of, okay, this is package one, which is going to be like, a logo, your logo on the podcast. And then maybe we do an ad like readout or something like that. Then package two might be social media posts. It might be more ad readouts. It might be pre-roll, post-roll, mid-roll. Package three might be running an event with them. It might be doing this. It might be doing that. But then you add the value as the packages increase and you increase the price as well. And in terms of plucking money out of it, it's literally plucking a number.
Okay.
I say plucking a number, but it's an informed plucking it out of thin air, because ultimately you come up with a price, but you have to understand, okay, what do I want this money for? Do I want it to cover costs? Do I want to make a profit? Yeah. So if you want it to cover costs, you say, okay, cool. Maybe the podcast costs 500 to 1,000 a month to run, meaning, okay, maybe the sponsorship should be 1,000, 1,500, maybe a month to, you know, for someone to sponsor the podcast. And another thing is as well, when you're looking for sponsors, you have to think, number one, do I know anyone that could be the sponsor? Number two, do I know anyone that knows anyone that could be a sponsor for my podcast? And number three, what value have I got to bring to them?
Yeah.
Like, how do we align? How do we align? Can they serve my audience? And do they even see my audience as something they even want to be serving, or an audience that they want to be serving? Is that somebody that they're trying to actually get in front of? So the people that we've worked with, like, they wanted to work with us because it made them look better. It made them look, that's literally it. They wanted to work with some young black guys who were doing a good thing. It made them look better. So that's some of the people that we worked with, right? But then a lot of the other people, it's actually come from our audience too.
Yeah.
So people have actually, like, not sponsorships, but ways that we've monetized has come from our audience. So people inside of our audience have actually shared what we're doing with their workplaces, with their universities, with their colleges, da, 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 da. They've shared us so that we can go into these places and add value there. But it's only because they were in our audience in the first place. I know I kind of digressed a little bit, but then I'm just speaking of what
comes to me. As you said that, to the listener, if you've gotten to this point, just share the thing, man.
Share the thing.
Bring me some peas. No, yes. I'm joking. I feel like I've gotten the crash course that I needed in podcasting. As we kind of wrap up, like, to anybody who is potentially, you know, on the fence about getting into podcasting, what would your main piece of advice be to them?
Let's get started. Like, one of the things that stops so many people from starting is the fear of other people's opinions. Like, but they're just going to think it's another podcast. Am I going to do this? Am I going to do that? Like, what? Get started.
I love it.
Usually people, if someone already is thinking about, if someone's watching this episode, there's probably something within them thinking, okay, I might want to start a podcast at some point, right? And I'm not saying to just get out of your bed or wherever you're listening to this and literally turn on your camera and start speaking. Obviously, create a plan and such, but the get started. It doesn't have to be perfect is the main message that I want to say.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be perfect. You don't have to have these SM7B microphones. You don't have to have these big, I was going to say that. I don't even know what these lights are.
Lightings. Like, okay.
You don't have to have these lightings, right? Yeah. We've got overhead lighting. This is serious stuff. You don't have to have all of this. You haven't got to have the three cameras and everything. You just have to start with what you have, right? Make a plan and then start with what you have. That's what I would say.
I love it. Jonathan, like, where do you see yourself in the next 5 and 10 years?
The next 5 and 10 years.
Manifest it. We call this the manifest corner.
In the next 5 years, I envision myself probably still, of course, still running a podcast, still running this business as well, but then helping other business owners to grow what they're doing in terms of grow their business, grow themselves personally as well, just a whole load of growth, essentially a growth consultancy in a couple of years, right? In five to 10 years.
Yeah.
And the reason why is because...
I'm the sponsor for this podcast. No, I'm joking. You know.
And the reason why is that I do this already with my clients, but then I just do it in a podcast capacity. And I help them to improve as like podcast hosts. I help them to actually improve business-wise. Like when, as I said already, one of my clients, they were getting 70% of their leads off the back of the podcast.
Mm.
Now, just someone just editing a podcast ain't going to help you get 70% of your leads off the back of the podcast.
I hear that.
So we help them with that kind of stuff as well. We help them to grow the business because ultimately, right, we're trying to make some money here.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to help them do that. And I'm going to do that outside of the podcasting industry whilst using podcasting at the same time, but still just helping people grow.
Yeah.
Right. And then of course, also I will likely still be doing podcast coaching. So I actually do coach people. So I have a program. Did I tell you about that?
No, you didn't.
Okay, cool. So I have a program and essentially I help people to go from like the beginner to a winner, basically.
We'll link that in the show notes, 100%.
Absolutely.
Jonathan, this has been such an insightful conversation. Just before I ask you a final question, we do have a quick fire round.
Okay,
cool. You ready for this here, bro?
Amazing.
Here we go. When podcasting, would you prefer big budget with strict guidelines or small budget with complete creative control?
Small budget with complete creative control.
This is just general. Money or happiness?
Happiness.
Like it. Perfect content or prioritize timely episode release?
Timely episode release.
Work from home or work from the office?
Work from the office.
Create a podcast to challenge industry norms or stick to proven strategies that work?
First one.
Okay. a podcast that drives immediate sales or builds long-term brand authority?
One.
Yeah. grow listeners or deepen engagement with your current audience?
One.
Guest interviews with big names or niche experts with unique insights?
One.
Who has it easier, men or women?
Oh, bro, I can't answer that.
All right, and then one more, like dream dinner guest.
Dream dinner guest. Jesus.
Okay, love it.
A serious dinner.
That would be.
I've got a lot of questions.
We do have a closing tradition on this podcast, Jonathan. Nice. With everything that you've been through, knowing what you know, what advice would you give your younger self and would you still be doing the same thing?
I would still be doing the same thing, yes. And I would tell myself the same thing I said earlier, which is you turn into what you tune into. Just make sure you're tuning into the right things earlier on. That's what I'd say.
Jonathan, this has been such a great conversation. Where can people find you, bro?
They can find me on LinkedIn at Jonathan Reed. If you're struggling to find me, it's re-identify after that. So Jonathan Reed, R-E-I-D-E-N-T-I-F-Y on LinkedIn. Look at I'm Jonathan Reed on Instagram if you want to get me on there. And then, yeah, on YouTube, it'll probably be under Vitamin U or Jonathan Reed as well.
I love it, Jonathan. This has been such a great conversation. Thank you for the podcast therapy session. for the free counseling. This has been so good. I'm going to take action. And to the listener, if you've made it to this point in the podcast, you know what to do: like, subscribe, share, comment. It does wonders for the podcast.
Mm.
This has been another episode of What My Best Friend Does. If you didn't though, now you know. Now go away and take some action, Jonathan. Thank you, bro.
Thank you very much.